Nat, thanks for joining me. Let's do this. Before we get into it, what have you made of the first two games at Wembley this season?
I think they'd be very different, particularly the first one. Different insofar as the Vikings game felt to me, for the first time ever, like a real, authentic NFL game. And I've been, you know, fortunate enough to go to quite a few games in the States as a fan and cover some as a broadcaster. And there's no doubt about it that, for obvious reasons, that previous international series have been a little bit odd in the sense that they're not typical. Now, they're never going to be typical because they're in a foreign country and they're at Wembley Stadium, right? But this was the first one that felt like it was a genuine regular season game. And that was great. The second game, I think because it was so one-sided, was maybe less so. And I think partly because the fan base that Jags has at the moment probably isn't at the same level of the 49ers, even though it was technically a Jags home game. They were outnumbered by the 49ers. And it, you know, once the game becomes one-sided, then you start seeing Mexican waves and everything else, and the atmosphere changes. But the first one was, you know, genuinely authentic, I thought.
That Mexican wave was early as well. Yeah. Was it a negative, though, that the Jaguars, potentially the franchise to come over here, was it a negative that they were so bad in that game?
It's not a positive, so... I mean, I think everyone expected it, though. Yes, clearly, a one-sided game nobody wants. But at the same time, we've got to remind ourselves that two things, really. Firstly, the NFL is all about a fast transition. You know, look at Detroit. You know, a couple of years ago, they were the worst team in the NFL by a country mile. Now they could win the NFC North, you know. And, you know, you've got to look at the Jags that way. You know, young team with a lot of talent, although Blackman's gone and done it again. And so he's, I think, a done deal there, which is a real shame because he was obviously one of their superstars in the making. But there's a lot of potential there. They've got a good quarterback and a few other positional players. They might, you know, they might be threatening for a 500 record next season and go on to the playoffs the year after that. So in that respect, you know, it's not the end of the world. The other thing to remember, of course, is, you know, we still get to see the A game. You know, it's still an NFL game. We still get to see Frank Gore and Colin Kaepernick. And for that matter, Maurice Jones-Drew. You know, we still get to see the superstars. So it's a world away from exhibition games and from NFL Europe, which was the equivalent, in my mind, of MLS versus the Premier League.
Yeah. We'll get into the Europe in a bit, but maybe the Jags will do a Chiefs as well and turn it around next season. But
well, there you go, it's a good example, yeah.
Did you read into anything? The crowd was emptying out as well, I noticed, at the end of the fourth quarter. Yeah. It was a blowout, but surely there's only two games a season. Do you think that was worrying for Wembley in terms of the long term?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, everyone's got their reasons for leaving a game early, and some are genuine, you know. I'm not of that school of, you never leave a game early, whatever happens, because, you know, how do you know? Maybe, you know, you've got a kid that's tired and wants to go home, or your kid's asking you to come home. I'm speaking as a dad here, you know. Or there could be a million and one reasons why. You know, you've promised somebody, you know, promised your children you'd take them to the game, but you've got to work a night shift. I mean, who the hell knows? Yeah, there are some people that, you know, maybe there isn't a particularly authentic reason, but, you know, live and learn. And nobody's perfect, so I wouldn't read too much into that. And in a blowout, it happens the length and breadth of the country all the time in Premier League games, happens all across the States in baseball and NFL games, so I wouldn't read much into it at all.
You've covered the games for Channel 4, you're obviously in the media a lot. How have you seen the increase? Because it has increased a lot since 2007, hasn't it?
Yeah, hugely. I think it's, you know, I think it's a combination now of less curiosity from the media, the wider media, and more mainstream acceptance. I still think there's a big jump that needs to be made in terms of how the traditional media outlets over here cover the game. But, you know, in our day and age, Max, I don't know how important that is anymore. We're not living in it, you know, we're living in the internet generation, the digital generation. I think the importance of being on the national news, you know, at 10, or being in the Evening Standard or the Times, it's much less than it was, you know, certainly 10 years ago, and arguably 5 years ago, whenever the series first started. So, you know, I think that the growth of UK support and independent media on Twitter, you know, the growth of blogs and bloggers writing about the game, you know, therefore the connection the fans are having with the game is strengthening. It's a good thing, you know, and so I think that overall the media exposure has improved. Are we ever going to see a back page story in the Times? Well, maybe if we have a franchise, possibly we would. But other than that, I'm not sure it's necessarily what we should be aiming for. And we shouldn't worry too much about it.
Franchise talk, because I really want to get into that now. How much does the fan base here have to grow? Because people have said maybe it has to triple yet. Is that what you think as well, for it to grow in the long term?
I think they've got to put a number on it. because there has, this is how big business works, irrespective of the industry and discipline. And so I think to justify the selection of London to house a franchise, I don't think Roger Goodell and the guys can say, the guys like I know him really personally, yeah, we're just going to have a London franchise. They've got to say, well, look, you know, and exactly what they've done. The game's popular here, but it could be more popular. Clearly it could be. It's never going to replace, we've talked about this before, it's never going to replace the Premier League. But as a minority sport, it could definitely get stronger in terms of popularity. There's no doubt about it. Something like F1, I mean, I'm sure there are stats that might contradict this, but don't read everything into stats. F1, I would just instinctively feel, is more popular in this country than American football. And they need to at least make sure it's on a level with a sport like that, I think. So I think what they're saying is, look, it's good, but it could be better. And logically, you know, with the coverage that we've got going on and more games coming over here, that will happen.
Now, Roger Goodell said that he might want a city, team in LA and London.
Yeah.
But why is London being tainted? Where you've got Toronto, perhaps, Mexico. Why is London being told we might have a franchise here?
I think it's got a lot to do with Americans of a certain generation. And America's a very changing country. But there is, you know, a generation, Roger Goodell's age and his parents, where there's a very special relationship between America and Britain. And Britain is seen, for obvious reasons, as a gateway to the world because of language. You know, it is a long way away, but it is that we're similar to the Americans in many ways, and they identify with that logically. You know, we are also a sensible place because of that to connect Europe together. And you know, London is a powerful city as well. And yeah, okay, sure, so is Frankfurt, but you know, financially speaking, you know, so is Sydney, but that's a, you know, logistically a whole other ball game. So in many respects, it makes sense. It's as good as anywhere else, you know. And I think that the cultural simpatico that exists makes it the obvious choice. You can tell that just by being around the teams when they're over here and they're put up in a hotel like the Grove. You know, it feels right. It feels, it doesn't feel, yes, it's strange. Yes, it's intoxicatingly different for them as an experience. But at the same time, it's quite a lot like a hotel you'd find, you know, in Connecticut, you know. And so they can relate to that, and that's important, I think.
The rumour is that players and teams might still be based in the US on the East Coast. Would that alienate the fan base here, do you think?
Well, it's an interesting one, and there are lots of logistical problems that, you know, that have been covered, I think, about having a franchise over here. But then, you know, you just look at it logically. There are loads of players in the NFL who play for, say, an East Coast team like the Jets or, you know, Baltimore or Philly, who are from down south and their families are down south, and at the end of the season, you know, they're on the road half the season anyway, and at the end of the season they're back in, you know, Florida or, you know, wherever their base is. So the idea of kind of living somewhere 6-7 months of the year and your team operates somewhere else isn't a new thing for the NFL. This might take it one step further, but I wouldn't imagine, I mean, that would have to be the construct of a team. They wouldn't just rent Wembley out and use it as a place. I mean, there would be a lot more permanency. Even if some players decided to, I'm not sure they'd be allowed to. I think you'd have to, when you're with the team, be with the team. So I don't think it would necessarily work out that, yeah, I play for the London Bulldogs, but I live in New York. I certainly that would work.
What are the biggest logistical problems, do you think? I mean, they've got to bring their families over here. Yeah. They've got to live here.
Well, yeah, but again, you know, I think that's not a problem that is new to the NFL. You know, I think that happens all over the place. I think that, to repeat my example, you know, if you get drafted by Green Bay and you're born and raised in Alabama, you went to college in Alabama and your family's there, then, you know, it's exactly the same problems. You know, what do you do? So, yes, it's relocating to a different country, but you wouldn't necessarily relocate. If you've got 8 games on the road anyway, you're talking about, you know, I guess it depends on where training camps and similar happen, but let's assume that you're talking about the regular season home games. It's only a couple of months a year. It's not that big. Wouldn't necessarily necessitate relocating your whole family permanently to Surrey, is what I'm saying.
What about if we had 8 international series games a year or more than 3 as opposed to franchise? Yeah. Would that work better, do you think?
Well, I like that idea. Yeah. I think there are pros and cons of it. I think clearly the risks that you run with a franchise are that they're not very good for a long time and the fans don't therefore buy into it or get bored. And this tackles that, you know. But then there's no sense of attachment if it's always different teams. Although you could argue that, well, everyone's got their own team anyway. But I think if we had a London franchise, most teams would, and most fans rather, would support that team alongside their own team.
I was just going to ask you that. Do you think that, because it's different jerseys in the stadium every time, do you think that they just forget their allegiance and support the London team?
For the home games, I think they probably would. A lot of them would. A lot of them wouldn't. It's a little bit like, and this might sound like a strange analogy, but it's a bit like how I think wrestling, me, huge wrestling fan. No, but as a kid, I was a big wrestling fan, and I was listening to Bill Simmons talk about it. How now in WWE wrestling, it's all different to when we were kids growing, when I was a kid growing up, you're obviously much younger than me, but back in the day when it was, you know, wrestlers in the late 80s and early 90s, Hulk Hogan, and it was good versus evil, and the fans knew exactly what side they're on. Now, it's madness. You've got a wrestler like John Cena, who most adults hate, but kids love. And he's supposed to be a goodie, but everybody boos him, or some people boo him. And in the same kind of way, I think there's always going to be, again, the digital age we live in, there's always going to be a self-aware section of the UK fan base that, I'm not going to support a London team, I'm a Patriots fan, and will be proud about doing that. But I think most people will either allow the teams to coexist or change allegiance. I can see that happening.
I've not been there myself, but you have, obviously. What's the atmosphere like? And you watch the NFL every weekend and it's so loud. Do you think that London could ever actually do that, make that atmosphere?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good atmosphere there. You know, it's a great stadium. And I think the players step up to the experience. You know, they talk about the Super Bowl comparison of sorts, and that's because the whole build up as much as a game, and you're playing in a place most of them, all of them probably have never played in before, unless they've been in another international series game. And it's an incredible stadium, you know. So I think, I think that creates an atmosphere, which is usually good. Sometimes it is a bit too party central, and, you know, it's a bit. But I think if the game's good and close, you know, it's in terms of dynamic and aesthetics, the same as the majority of stadiums in the States.
Well, you've given us opinion, but the fact is 24 of the 32 owners will have to agree to the move to London.
Yeah.
NFL, it's massive, privately owned, capitalistic country. Do you think this is worthwhile for the owners to move the team to London?
100%. I mean, if you're talking about whether it's a commercial, sensible move to do, 100%, because, and that's what I think is, let's be honest about it, is driving all of this anyway. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, they're a business. And look at the people that run NFL franchises, by and large, are incredibly wealthy, successful businessmen or women. And they feel that the market commercially is getting close to saturation point in the States, which is why they want to grow internationally. And that is all about money. And I'll repeat, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's some sense in some quarters that, oh, you know, it's all about money. Well, so what? So most things, and sport is exciting and fantastic to watch, and that's why we love it, and it creates all this emotion in us, everything else. At the end of the day, it's still business. These are people making a living, entertaining us, and, you know, the business around that, if you look at the NFL, is to be admired, I think. And so, I think the least of their issues will be, is moving to London a good idea for commercial reasons?
And the home team, I mean, fans hate losing a home game. There's only 8 every season, obviously. Do you think massive fan bases like Seattle, like Green Bay, would ever come to London? I mean, suppose they'd have to. There's a franchise here.
Yeah. Do you mean as visiting fans, or if their team...
If they lost a home game. If Green Bay or Seattle, big fan bases lost a home game.
Yeah, I think that is obviously one of the fundamental problems that I struggle with, if I'm honest. You know, the fact that a lot of fans are paying hard-earned cash for a season ticket and they lose a game. But, you know, it's something that is unless they increase the season, the same principle happens. They've talked about, increasing the regular season and cutting preseason games, but I think that opens up a whole new can of worms from a health perspective, and from talking to players and ex-players and quite a few journalists and coaches on it, I'm completely against that because I think it's dangerous. So, I sympathise with the fans who miss out on a home game, but I'm pretty sure that the franchises factor that in and protect them. You know, it's not just removing a game and not recompensing them in a certain way. So, you know, something's got to give if we're going to do something like this.
NFL Europe didn't work. Yeah. Financial problems as well. Why would this work?
Completely different. NFL Europe was a B league. It was very important, and it's disappointing it isn't there. I think it's a very... a very useful tool for the NFL to have, developing players. Look at someone like Lawrence Okoye, would benefit so much from playing a couple of years in the NFL year. It's playing the game, learning the game. Or, you know, look at how many players, James Harrison was in NFL Europe, you know? Look at how Kurt Warner, famously, you know? How many players who, if they hadn't been given that lifeline, you know, just to keep on going and maybe get another shot, you know, might have never played, you know, pro ball to the level that they did. So it's a huge disappointment that NFL Europe isn't there, but comparing the two is like chalk and cheese, because you're watching reserve players, and purists like us are probably going to watch it, because we love the game that much. But even then, if I'm really honest with myself, would I go and watch an NFL Europe team in London week in, week out, if I wasn't covering it? Probably not every single week religiously. Would I go and watch an NFL for real franchise? 100%.
I remember Roger Goodell saying at the start of when the international series began over here, he struggled to get teams to come over. But next year, the likes of Matt Stafford against Matt Ryan, you've got Oakland, Miami, that's a great game for English viewers. That's got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the matchups that we've got lined up next year are going to be exciting games. There's a lot of the teams there have a core fan base over here, the Raiders, the Dolphins, you know, traditionally well-supported teams in the UK. So, yeah, it's going to be a good, and it's sensible, and they're going to keep on aiming for those kind of matchups.
And also read an article yesterday about perhaps the Super Bowl being played at Wembley if we do get a franchise. You don't think that's going to happen?
That will never happen.
Why?
Play this back to me in 15 years when it happens. Because I think that's a step too far. And I just can't imagine a Super Bowl kicking off at 1 a.m., which it would have to. I just can't imagine, you know, there's no way that a Super Bowl wouldn't be broadcast at night in the U.S. It's broadcast at night in the U.S., and if somebody completely screws up time zones, then, you know, it would be kicking off at 1 a.m. or thereabouts in the U.K. It's not going to happen.
The NFL games were once rare. Now it's three a season, might be more. Do you think the popularity will go down because of that, because it's not so rare?
It's a good question. Probably not, insofar as for all the casual fans that have their appetite satiated by going to a game. Oh, I've been to an NFL game. Super casual fans. There are enough fans with a keener interest who at various times haven't been able to afford or haven't been able to go to one of the other games who want to go to one. And equally, that will be offset, or rather that will be added to by the fans that get into the game by being here more. So I think overall, there won't be any negative impact on more games. If anything, it will create more of a potential audience to go to watch it.
Final few questions then. In your personal opinion, you've been around the game, do you think this franchise move is going to happen?
I think there's a good chance it will. I do. I think I'm more confident in it happening than I was a year ago, quite clearly, because we've now got three regular season games, and the signs are very positive. The NFL clearly wants to do something more than it's already doing. Now, whether that ends as a top line, as your example of eight games, or even six or five, and they're happy with that, and maybe a playoff game, and then, you know, they mix it up a bit, and there is one in Frankfurt 1 year, and there's one in Dublin another year, and one in Tokyo maybe 1 year, and that's kind of, so maybe there'll be three in London, and then they'll push it a bit further and do one in Europe, and then one in continental Europe, and then, you know, maybe one in, as I say, you know, in Tokyo, or logistically, I don't know, I haven't thought about how far, in geographical terms, the NFL can go for it to be feasible, you know. But I think the most likely outcome at the moment is a franchise over here.
Like the MLB, they're going to Sydney next year, true. Dodgers and Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Do you think the NFL's got more reach than the Major League Baseball?
It's a good question. I mean, it depends where in the world you're talking about, just like it depends where in the States you're talking about. You know, in some place in the States, hard as it is to believe, the NFL doesn't resonate at all. It's all about college football. It's all about hoops. You know, it's all about hockey in some parts, you know. So I think, overall, it's difficult to say which of the three major American sports has the biggest global reach, because I think it just differs from region to region. But certainly in terms of the Western world, I think the NFL has got to be up there. And the NBA now is sort of falling way behind, because at least there's that impression. Because, yes, they're holding regular season games here, but, you know, I think a lot of it is to do with the exposure on television. You know, the NBA just doesn't have terrestrial exposure, doesn't have the same level of exposure that, and baseball sadly doesn't. It doesn't radio, it's a fine show, it is as well, but it doesn't have the same level, and inevitably that's going to impact the growth.
Last question. Do you think it's slightly ironic how Americans changed... Well, they introduced the forward pass all those years ago to get away from the English game of rugby, but yet now they're bringing it over here?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, absolutely. Although, you know, I think there's more chance of the game growing and getting to a much bigger level over here than rugby over there, I think, you know. And it's interesting to see, actually, that, you know, looking into it more and how rugby plays over there, there is a kind of fascination from the players watching it, just as I talk to many rugby players over here watching the NFL. And most NFL players I've spoken to think they'd kill it at rugby as well. But interestingly, most rugby players I've spoken to think they'd be rubbish at NFL. They just wouldn't have the power. So it'd be an interesting experiment to see. Two teams playing against each other in the different sports would be good.
Nah, thanks, mate.